eager to listen to all sides and have gone, truly a great distance to try to make myself available to everybody that's available. I've attempted to make myself available to, you know, set net organizations, the Cook Inlet subsistence folks in the interior, sport fish groups in southeast, sport fish groups in south central region, you know, whoever has an issue that we are going to consider, I want to hear their input.
Thanks.
Mr. Wardwell, you indicated, you used the phrase gentle adjuster, referring, I believe, to allocations. We'll get back to that phrase in a moment. There are a couple of questions I have. One is, how would you describe your views of the board and the board process now in comparison to the time before you had this opportunity to attend board meetings as an actual board member?
Well, I think that, Mr. Chairman, I think the biggest difference that I see is that from a member of the general public, I see a very slow, cumbersome process that seems like it takes forever. They never get around to your issue, and then when you sit behind the table and are weighing the various bits of information, it's the information is coming very rapidly, mounds of information. A lot of testimony, and it's there is a lot of information to digest to be able to feel comfortable with the decision that you make. I think that's the biggest difference that I see. I guess I also felt before the process that maybe the board wasn't objective. That there was a lot of bias that was displayed within the board, and now that I've had a chance to sit on the board, I've come to the feeling that the members seem to try to argue and reach those same tough decisions. I mean, it's for each of us, it's a hard process, and I see each one of the members struggling with the decisions that they're coming up with and arguing the merits of the way that they come to the conclusions that they come to.
Thank you, Mr. Wardwell. Another question. God forbid we would have to choose another commissioner of Fish and Game. However, if such is the case, what would guide your decision regards choosing the board selections to submit to the governor?
I have not thought about that process, but I suppose that is something that could we may have to deal with again. Or I say again, I'd have to maybe deal with that the first time. I think knowledge of the subject, both the fish issues and the game issues, since the possibility that if the commissioner was not selected, that it might be in light of subsistence issues. I would tend to scrutinize their position on subsistence, although I don't know what basis I would scrutinize it on, but I would try to find out the scope of their knowledge on subsistence.
And why would you do that?
Background that they would have within their background knowledge and experience that they're bringing as talents to the position, then their administrative ability to be able to just handle the departments, and then possibly an ability to be able to communicate their direction and feelings to the general public and also to their staff and departments of game and fish so that there was a cohesive understanding of the direction attempting to be attained. And I would imagine that attempting to understand whatever direction the governor is assigning to the commissioner for direction as it relates then to the rest of those items administratively and communicatively.
Ken, let me interrupt you. Ken, let me interrupt you there for just a moment. Ken, excuse me. Would you expand on what you said about the governor there, please?
Well, I believe the commissioner would be appointed by the governor and then confirmed by the legislature. And I would imagine that they would have to be able to work together. If they're not, if they can't work together, I don't think the job can get done.
Let me ask a follow-up then there, Ken. What are your feelings regards the political independence of the Board of Fish in coming up with the selections for from which the governor would choose a commissioner of fish and game?
The political selections?
No. What is your feeling regards the political independence of the Board of Fish regards coming up with the slate that the Board of Fish and Game would submit to the governor for consideration of the commission? In other words, how do you do in a political pressured situation, and do you feel that there is any place for that kind of pressure to bear on members of the boards of fish or game to come up with, quote, a pre-selected individual at the request of a specific political entity or person?
Mr. Chairman, I was not aware that the Board of Fish and that the Board of Fish would have to make recommendations regarding a commissioner. I thought we would maybe review the selection by the governor. If that's not the case, I stand corrected.
Finally, my final question, Mr. Wardwell: who or what circumstances led to your initial interest in serving on the Board of Fish?
Well, Mr. Chairman, there were several folks that had called to attempt to inspire me to be available. One of the folks was Harry Gaines, a guide. He called and said the position was available, and I said that I wouldn't be interested. Another man was Russ Reddick, called and asked if I would. He sounded more interested. He said that they were, that the position was available, that it was a sport fishing spot that had been filled by Bud Hodson, and that that the sport fishing groups were interested in putting somebody in that had some understanding of sport fishing. And I told Russ that that it was a job that anybody that I had seen in the past that had served in this position, it seemed like it was a very tough position, and that those people had seemed to suffer a great deal, and that there was many time considerations. It was a lengthy process, and that I didn't think that I would be interested in doing it. And then, I think maybe Jim Richardson called, was another fellow that I know, and he tried to, he suggested that I should put my name in, make it available. I still was adamant that I wouldn't, didn't want to. And then Harry Gaines called back, and I don't think of Harry Gaines as a salesman, but he just said that some people that he was involved with were putting together a long list of folks that were were possible candidates for the position, and that they would like to include my name, and that in any case, I acquiesced and said, well, that, sure, that sounds good, Harry. And then as soon as I hung up, I realized that that I had, you know, I better think pretty seriously about this. And over the next 48 hours, had a long talk with myself and attempted to come to a conclusion as to whether, I mean, either I was going to have to withdraw my name off that list, or I was going to have to be prepared to approach it in a very serious manner. And based on, during that next tough 48 hours, I said, okay, I'm prepared to do it, and sat down and began the process of preparing a resume and a cover letter and some of the information and submitted it for for the position. And
Ken, what were some of the factors that explain that acquiescence? What made you change your mind?
Well, I think it was, in my mind, it was just time to stand up and be counted. It was time to, you know, make myself available to, at least in my mind, to do some of the work. I just felt that maybe this was, that everybody has to be part of the process at some time, and I guess this was maybe the time that that I guess I had to stand up and be part of that process.
That's good enough. I appreciate your comments. Standing up and being counted, of course, is what this job is all about. Do you feel that you could stand up and be counted in any kind of political pressure that the board might face, whether it comes from the governor or the legislature or individual legislators or anybody else?
I've promised myself that I'm prepared to take on that challenge, and that's why I'm here.
And so there's no one that gives orders to Ken Wardwell except the facts that are presented to you by the parties who give the board proposals. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Thank you, Mr. Wardwell. Are there other questions by members of the committee? Representative Lehman?
Ken, I think, I've probably met in the past, but I'm just trying to refresh my memory about it. But from, like I did with Irv Carlisle, I talked with some mutual acquaintances, other people who have dealt with you, especially on fisheries issues. And I'd have to say, when it comes to your reputation on fisheries issues, it's not as sterling as that is of Mr. Carlisle. And I just would like to have some assurance from you that your actions on the board would not be biased and unprofessional, similar to what I think we had in place when Bix Bonney was on the board. It was refreshing to see a change, in my opinion, with Mike Chihuly and Bud Hodson, two people that I did not necessarily agree with all the time, but whose actions on the board were respectable, well-reasoned, and well thought out. And what assurance can you give that indeed your actions will be similar to your predecessors, and you will not necessarily be be like some previous actions?
I knew Bix Bonney. I didn't know I mean, I knew him, and I knew that he was on the board, and he was a member of my Rotary Club at the time, and I think a lot of us were proud of Bix Bonney for also serving, on the board. I'm not familiar with, I'm just not familiar with what he might have caused, or what the feeling of that. But I've since heard references to it, and I can only say that I know how I'm approaching this job, and that's with pretty serious objectivity, and Well, I suppose if, you know, my cons, you know, you may be concerned that I'm a sport fisherman. Well, I'm a sport fisherman, and yet, you know, I think the first people that I called to attempt to find out about their issues or make myself available to was some of the folks from the Cook Inlet commercial fishery. You know, in attempting to make myself available this summer to say, okay, I'd like to come down and see your fishery, and have, why don't you walk me through it? Show me your problems. You know, show me the issues that are of concern to you. And I went to you know, Matthew Nicolai, which is a member of my Rotary Club, and I know that he's interested in subsistence issues. And I went to Matthew right away, and I said, Matthew, you know, have folks that are familiar with the issues that you're familiar with, make sure that they give me a call. I want to hear about that. I'm not familiar with subsistence enough to probably, you know, have a true understanding of subsistence as it relates to a person really in need of that as a resource. And so I asked him to do that, and he indicated that he would. I have not received calls from, you know, either one of those groups to, or I should say, maybe three or four groups that I called to share their feelings or offer any input. But I am available for anybody that wants to talk, including Sportfish folks, on any information that they want to share. And I've been getting beat up by sport fishermen. I mean, I'm a bad guy already just because I sit on this board at this point. So I don't think there's anybody that can win in any direction.
Now, welcome to the public service process. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Wardwell. What I'd like to do now is just take some public testimony. And first, I'd like to go to Anchorage, Mr. Carl Kircher. Are you there, Carl?
Yes, I am.
Did you wish to offer any comments at this time?
My name is Carl Kircher. I live in Fish at Mile 6, Coho Loop, Puyallup, Alaska. I'd like to speak against the confirmation of Mr. Wardwell to the Board of Fish. Mr. Wardwell's claim to fame is being president of the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. The Kenai River Sport Fishing Association's main contribution to fisheries management allocation decisions was Project US. Mr. Wardwell is an outspoken proponent of Project US in various debates. Project US proposed the elimination of the Eastside Set Net and Cook Inlet. This fishery was to be replaced by fish traps in the Kenai and Puyallup River, with proceeds going to eliminated Eastside Set Netters. Biologically and politically, this plan was a farce, and it hardly was a gentle solution. Mr. Wardwell's support of Project US does not show an adequate objective understanding of fisheries issues. The US and Project US stood for ultimate solutions.
Anyone here in the room?
The fact that Mr. Wardwell thinks ultimate solutions are possible in sensitive allocation issues and his willingness to eliminate an entire user group betrays a lack of understanding and sensitivity to others' concerns. As president of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association, I believe Mr. Wardwell should, at a minimum, have a working knowledge of the Kenai River King Salmon Management Plan. It answers his rhetorical question about what happens when we have a small run of king salmon and a large run of red salmon in Cook Inlet. I believe he should have been able to rattle out the Kenai River King Salmon Management Plan verbatim in answer to Representative Lehman's question. This does not show an adequate understanding of fisheries issues. I feel there's evidence to suggest that Mr. Wardwell is mainly a player delivering on a campaign promise made by Governor Hickel. Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association has had a number of meetings with Governor Hickel's Special Assistant on Fisheries, Clem Killian. Clem has told us that Governor Hickel had made the decision that politically a major restriction to the Eastside Set Net was in his best interest. Mr. Killian told us that Governor Hickel would appoint his people to the Board of Fish to accomplish this goal. I believe that the appointment of Mr. Wardwell is the start of fulfilling this campaign promise. In conclusion, I realize that historically most political appointees do get confirmed. I understand that as legislators, you have to be able to work with the administration on other issues, and you must do your best to keep the atmosphere workable. But I believe as resource committee members charged with oversight of appointees to the Board of Fish, you must narrow your vision to the task at hand. The Board of Fish has a stewardship of Alaska's number one renewable resource, a resource that generates Alaska's number one private sector employer, commercial fishing. a resource that puts food on the table for all Alaskans who choose to use it, a resource that provides leisure activity for thousands of Alaskans. This board must be composed of open-minded people able to put political pressure and individual ideology behind and make decisions that are best for the resource and for all user groups affected. I believe Mr. Wardwell's history and actions do not show conclusively that he would make an acceptable board of Fish member. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kircher. Carl, we've had. Did you have your comments written?
Yes, I did, sir.
We've had a request to, if you would please fax them to us. You can fax them there at the LIO, and if you would fax them to 465 or 3444, or have the staff there at the LIO fax it to Representative Davidson's office, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Is there anyone in Anchorage at this time who wishes to testify? Anyone else in Anchorage?
Mr. Chairman, this is Wardwell. There's no one else here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Ken. Next, I'd like to go to Soldatna and Mr. Brent Johnson. Are you still there?
This is Brent Johnson. My address is HDR2 508 Clam Gulch, Alaska, 99568. I'm president of Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association. Yeah, I have a couple of questions here for Mr. Wardwell, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wardwell, do you own any real estate on the Kenai River or thereabouts?
Mr. Chairman, no, I don't.
Okay, thank you. And another question I have is, what do you think about aquaculture? Those hatchery fish, are they pretty much...
Mr. Johnson?
Just as good as...
Mr. Johnson?
Hello,
Mr. Johnson?
Are a little bit less desirable.
Say, Brent? Mr. Johnson, I would prefer that you give only your testimony, and we'll reserve the questions of the conferee for members of the committee, okay?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I didn't know exactly how the process worked. This is my first time for doing this.
Sure.
Then I just have some comments for the Resources Committee, and I think one of the critical issues here is one of trust. The people of the state of Alaska need to be confident that the people who sit on the Board of Fish are trustworthy, honest people. And I think that there is a great deal of doubt raised in the area of Ken Wardwell of whether or not he's going to sit on the board in an honest place, doing an honest job, and that the things he says are true. And even if that issue is not correct, I think there are probably well-qualified people in the state of Alaska that the public can trust. Whenever the public doesn't trust the people on the Board of Fish, then that raises an issue that can really get to be a can of worms, as it did at times in the past. So those are my comments to you, and I thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Appreciate your comments. Mr. Gene Palm, are you there in Soldatna?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you wish to make any further comments on the confirmation of Mr. Wardwell?
Yes, if I could, I'd like to just read a prepared statement that I have here.
Please continue, and would you also fax a copy of that to the Resources Committee, please?
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure how readable it is, but I'll get something to you. Now, Mr. Chairman, members of the Resource Committee, okay. My name is Gene Palm. I reside in North Kenai. My address is HCO1, Box 956, that's Kenai. My family fishes with my wife's parents and her sister's family in a three-family set net operation for salmon on South Manoff Beach, 8 miles north of Kenai River. I'm also currently vice president of the KPFA. As you're probably well aware, our fishery has a history of involvement in fish allocation conflicts. And during this conflict, we've had quite extensive experience with the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association and Mr. Ken Wardwell, who until his appointment to the Board of Fisheries was president of that group. I'd like to emphasize that what I have to say is not meant as a personal attack on Mr. Wardwell. If he and I were neighbors, which in a sense we are, we'd probably get along just fine. I don't feel, though, that Mr. Wardwell should be on the Board of Fisheries for a number of reasons. Ken Wardwell, I've been listening to just the past few minutes, but not the same Mr. Wardwell we've listened to over the last few years. And the views he has expressed are certainly not representative of the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. Now, maybe there's been a conversion or some sort of change of heart. If that's the case, we welcome it. I'm troubled that Mr. Wardwell has so little understanding of the Kenai River King Salmon Management Plan. Until recently, he served as president of the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. He should be intimately familiar with that plan. The Kenai River Sport Fishing Association has advocated over the years drastic restrictions of our commercial fishery. I wonder now on what level of familiarity and understanding the proposals were advanced. During the last political campaign, the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association, along with some other sport fishing groups, ran an ad in the Daily News asking for clear support from any gubernatorial candidate in order to get their endorsement. They demanded more, quote, representation, unquote, on the Board of Fisheries of sport fishermen. They also said they weren't interested in hearing any language from candidates to the effect that people appointed to the Board of Fisheries should be fair and impartial and should base their decisions on the best information available. Rather, they wanted people who would take up their issues and take them up right now. I submit to you, however, this is not the way Board of Fisheries should operate, or even can operate, as past experience with the Board of Fiasco in 1986 has shown us. Place for advocates of various fisheries is before the board, not on it. The number of different fisheries groups and interests are innumerable. It's obviously not possible for each group to have its representation on the board. It's also a fiction to believe that somehow interests are balanced and the three commercial fishermen, three sport fishermen, and one subsistence fisherman make up on the board. If in any of the groups mentioned above, there are going to be different and competing agendas and interests. The only way board process can work in the long term is for a board of fair, impartial, competent, and public service-minded individuals. The board's role is to set policy. I think they should serve a function similar to that of a jury. I don't hear many argue that the plaintiff and the defendant should have equal representation on the jury. I think you get my point. I'm not sure the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association or the governor do. Until you spoke to us here in Sultana and told us some restrictions on the Cook Inlet East Side Setland fishery were in order. When he was presented, the facts showed that the proposed restrictions would not accomplish what he intended, that is, putting more king salmon into the Kenai River, we were told that the facts were not at issue here. This was a political decision, pure and simple. The governor wanted it done, and he'd appoint people to the board who would accomplish this agenda, or fire them and replace them with people who would. Mr. Tillian has said in an interview with the Alaska Commercial Fisherman that it is the role of the governor to set fisheries policy. Board of Fisheries' role is to determine the mechanics of that policy. I disagree. If that were the case, why don't we just leave the question of fish allocation up to the commissioner in the Department of Fish and Game? I'm not against having sport fishermen on the Board of Fisheries. I'm against having people on the board who view their role as being advocates and representatives for their fishery, sport, commercial, or subsistence. My opinion, Ken Wardwell is definitely in this category. The appointment would definitely not be a good one for us. I don't think it's a good one for the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Palm. Mr. Dwayne Anderson, are you there in Soldotna? And do you wish to testify?
This is the moderator, and Mr. Anderson has left. We have Mr. Tech Robinson left to testify.
Okay, Mr. Robinson, if you would, please go ahead.
This is Chuck Robinson again. The Board of Fisheries is probably one of the most important boards of the boards of fishing in our state, in that it has the responsibility of regulating multi-million dollar industries, subsistence, cultural activities, and it is imbued with a lot of public trust responsibilities. It's my opinion that a person who sits on that board must have a fair, impartial, open mind when it comes to regulation of these public trust resources. In my experience, I have found Ken Wardwell not to be the type of person who could fill that bill. He has consistently, in his role as president of the Kenai River Sports Fishing Association, advocated a very strong, very obvious, and very clear bias on behalf of Kenai River Sports Fishermen. That is not the kind of person that we need on the board. We need a person on the board who's going to take on the public trust responsibility of all of the people of Alaska, not just any special interest group. There's been countless arguments as to whether or not this particular board or a similar board should even have people on it that have any particular special interest. I'm not opposed to having commercial fishermen on the board, subsistence fishermen on the board, or support fishermen on the board. What I am opposed to is that rather than having those people on the board simply to gain their knowledge and experience in the fisheries, a person like Mr. Wardwell gets on the board so he can advocate a particular position. That is just unacceptable. I've sat here and I've listened to Mr. Wardwell answer your question, and he reminds me much of a juror who isn't really saying what's in his heart, what's in his mind, and what he believes in his questions put to the court to determine his fitness for service, but rather just making statements that he thinks people would like to hear, and trying to get over in that regard. And I think that, just like a jury, you're looking for someone who's going to be fair to both sides, who's going to be impartial, who's not going to have any preconceived notions prior to making very important decisions concerning people's lives. Mr. Wardwell does not make a very good juror because he is not being honest, he's not being forthright, he's not really speaking his conscience. In my opinion, he's just saying those things that he thinks he's going to get him over. And I would urge you not to confirm this man in this very sensitive and very important public trust position.
Does that conclude your testimony, Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Mr. Wardwell, I hope you're still in Anchorage. You get the last word. If you would, please, Ken, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The comments that I've heard are relating to the positions that I've taken. And the only positions that I have argued in favor of have been relating to a project US that the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association had advanced for consideration or attempt. And we put a couple of years worth of work into that as a project, and it failed because of no interest from the commercial folks. Once that project ended, my involvement, my strong involvement with the Kenai River Association really dwindled. And in fact, I'm not sure that the association was even a very strong association of folks from then on. Once the Project US, issue gained significant criticism. As far as my activity with the Kenai River, I was, as I indicated, I was strongly involved with the Kenai River, particularly at the time of working on Project US. Since then, I have not had a significant amount of involvement in the Kenai River even, however, I fished the river once last year for Kings, and I have fished the Russian River for red salmon. And a couple of areas in the upper portion of the Kenai River for red salmon also. However, my specific involvement in the Kenai River, either from a fishery standpoint or any kind of advocate standpoint or any position like that over the last couple of 3 years has been, frankly, very slight. It's not that I have lost an interest in the Kenai River. I realize that it's a major spot where users are in conflict. There are drift gill netters. There are subsistence folks. There's set netters. There are sport fishermen. There are guides. There's drift and power guides. There's a lot of folks that are interested in that, and probably even more significant than that is that there just simply are a lot of people that fish from a lot of different viewpoints in that area. I would like to address the Project US for a moment, because from a position standpoint, that would, in my mind, be the source of argument from those folks speaking against me, because they wouldn't really know a heck of a lot about me from a fishing standpoint other than that. because I haven't really taken a position, you know, other, you know, I mean, I haven't made statements that are relating to things. In any case, Project US was, in my mind, and I think in the mind of those folks that were interested in advancing that as a solution, was simply, as it was stated there, the ultimate solution. And it was to, yes, not allow set net fishing along the Cook Inlet, you know, for a distance away from the Kenai River, but to allow for the harvesting of the sockeye salmon at some point up the Kenai River. In my mind, the true beneficiaries of that as a proposal were the set netters. I believed it then, I believe it now. I believe that if the fish were allowed to go up the river and be harvested, that commercial folks could just basically kick and take as far as earning their income off of that as a method. It would also provide another solution, and this was the motivation why I and other folks through the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association were interested in it. It would allow king salmon to move uninterrupted into the river and provide for a fishery in the lower river for sport fishing interest on the king salmon. So it seemed to be, from that standpoint, it seemed to provide, at the very least in my mind, a solution for all the interested parties. There were lots of arguments. There were arguments, for instance, that it would stop fishing. It would change a lifestyle. It would not allow for this fisheries to continue. And yet we weren't suggesting that anybody should stop set netting as an occupation if they wanted to. But they would have to move to a different location. Now the argument would be, well, but that's a good location that I have, and that's where the fish, you know, that's provided my income. Well, the owners of the spot where the fish were harvested would have been those same folks that would have been displaced, and so product would have been able to move up the river through the water in prime, we felt, prime condition, and be able to be harvested right into chilling boxes and right into the marketplace. And rather than go into something that's an hour-long presentation of why I feel that might have been, you know, a valid kind of proposal, the thing that I learned, a difficult thing to learn, was that it was too big of a change. Although I believe that the true beneficiaries of it may have been the set netters, the set net folks on the east side of the Cook Inlet, but that it quite simply was too large of a change. And in my mind, if that project is ever going to come up again, it's going to have to be advanced by commercial folks. I don't think there's any sport fish interests that are going to be willing to pursue that as a solution. I felt that, and I stated that at the time, I felt that we were walking in with a wheelbarrow full of gold, and just because it was coming from us, that this is a, that it can't be good. You know, why are you willing to give that to us? Now, I mean, there's arguments on both sides of this issue. There's strong feeling. There was a lot of press and a lot of media and a lot of things that came out against it. We tried to explore all of the considerations and find out the validity of the consideration of going in one direction or another. And with every concern, we felt that there was also an advantage. And so it was just something that, unfortunately, its time was not right. Maybe in the future somebody will dust it off, bring it back up, or maybe Chuck Robinson, for instance, or Brett Johnson, maybe, interested in bringing it up. It'll probably take years just to get over the hard feelings created just simply by virtue of, exploring that as an issue. But when I say that, it's not going to come up, it's certainly not going to come up in my direction. I have no interest in it's not possible to bring it. It's not possible to get all the various parties that are interested in that as a solution to have a meeting of the minds. And that falls right into that very same statement made by the individual that I indicated earlier, that if it's a major change, it's change is probably not going to work. It's got to wait until it's a minor solution or something, and then maybe the possibilities are there. So as far as the heartburn that I'm hearing, I think that's most specifically relating to that as a project. And at that time, at the time that we were advancing that as a possible solution to those same issues that still face us today, I went down to the Chamber of Commerce and made myself, sat on a panel and discussed this as an issue with members of, the SetNet folks, the Drift Illnetters, and myself, and we argued the merits and the upside and the downside to this as an issue. I also spent 2 days seeking out SetNet folks and canneries and delivered, hand-delivered and listened to all of whatever the objections were and discussed the various proposals on right at their homes if they were available. And so, even at that time, with that as a proposal, I extended myself, I made every attempt to make this as an issue available. I tried to answer the concerns my hope was not that we were trying to say that this had to happen this way, that this, the only thing we were offering is that this was something that should be considered. We were throwing it on the table and saying, this is something that we believe has some merit. We've spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money, a couple of years to try to get it to a point where, some of the really hard corners are rubbed off. But now somebody else should take it and see if there's any other, if there's anything there that can be considered. We didn't even offer it in the form of a proposal. We brought it right to the folks that were most affected by this and said, okay, you tell us. And they that we want to do, and it got dropped. I mean, it was done. It was loud and clear that was the statement being made, and so we moved away from it. But and that's once that was done, my involvement with the Kenai River Association, and frankly, the Kenai River Association, contracted as far as their overall efforts to do anything, and. There were, maybe some issues that they would address, but it was not me addressing those issues from my position. I don't think you'll find it any place in any testimony or any public hearing or any newspaper articles or anything. That was my activity. It was something that I worked. I put my time into. I worked with it. I can't say I worked hard.
We're not going to get shorter.
It was available. That was
Chairman,
fine.
Are we adjourned?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. One moment, please.
We're waking him up.
Thank you, Mr. Wardwell. I appreciate your comments. Have some discussion amongst. Well, this concludes the public hearing of your confirmation as well as Mr. Carlisle. And again, thank you very much. And I'm not sure what the confirmation date when these things go before the entire legislature, but we'll keep you posted. And with that, I'd like to adjourn this meeting at 5:31. Thank you very much.
Let us conclude our teleconference this evening with House Resources. You know, we'll stay online briefly in case any sites have any last minute comments before signing off.
Oh, we don't vote. So far.
Harry, nothing to lead you up there.